Bless you guys once again. We're always thankful that we can call in and listen to the teachings on Sundays and be a part of teaching on Sunday from time to time. You know, it's the Word of God that really dwells in our hearts, and it's something that when you understand and know the Scriptures, know what the power and authority that the Scriptures carry, that you can really dig into them and see some things that God will reveal to you that you'll never see anywhere else or understand from any other book. So God's Word is the greatest book we could have to look to and read and understand. This morning I'm really blessed because Josh and Jamie, say hi, Josh and Jamie.
Hello.
Hi.
Are here this weekend, and so I get to see their smiling faces when I'm teaching today. So that's great, and it's just a blessing from God that we have such a wonderful family to be a part of. You know, last week I know was Pentecost, and Bob did a great teaching on true worship, and I just thought about many different aspects of Pentecost, and one of the things I think God really put on my heart was to understand better how great God is. The gift of Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost and became available for man to be reconnected back to God, where we could talk to God personally, we can stand before Him, and we can pour our hearts out to Him. And He wants each and every person to be able to do that, to understand that He's there for us. And so I started thinking about the gift, the different things. There's different types of gifts, but I'm specifically talking about today the kinds of gifts that God gives to us, His people. I titled my teaching, God is the Greatest Giver, because I can't think of anybody else who's the greatest giver. If we started in the book of Genesis, which we won't today, and go all the way through the church epistles, just that much of the Bible, you know what? We would find thousands of things that God has done for His people over the years. He created the heavens and the earth in Genesis. He gave man life in Genesis. He set man up in a garden in Genesis with all of his needs being met. And you know what? He blew it. Man blew it. But then God had a plan to do the things that needed to be done to bring us to that day of Pentecost, where we could all receive Holy Spirit once again in our lives. You confess Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe God raised Him from the dead. You have the Spirit of God in you. It is a gift of God. So there are many, many, many places in the Word you can go to see and read about the greatness of God's love towards us. The definition of a giver is one who is willing to give to another unconditionally a gift. That is what the definition is of gift. It's not given because you earned it. It's not given because you deserve it. It's giving as an act of that person's love and affection towards you, period. That's what a gift is. It's a willing thing that is given to you that makes your life more valuable. It's a help in your life. It's a blessing. And those are done because of John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave. He set the example. Now we can follow that example because it is Christ in us. So today, I want to go to the Scriptures. And I was really encouraged by what Bob said about the book of Acts, because I didn't start in the book of Acts. But there are many things that we're going to talk about today that are talked about in the book of Acts. I wanted to start in Romans. So that's where we're going to go. Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2. Now, I'm using the New King James Version, so if yours reads a little different, that's the reason. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that's talking about us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The word justified, the word peace, that is something that God gives to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If Christ had not been obedient to God, different than what Adam was, disobedient, if he had not been obedient to God in his words that God had spoken to him, then we wouldn't have this gift. God wouldn't have been able to follow through with his plan. But Christ was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And he gave that to us. Christ gave that to us. So not only did God give to us before we were ever born, Christ paid the price for that. We have access by faith into grace. Grace is something that we don't earn. It's the gift of God. It's one of those things that God looked at man and said, they need this. They need to be justified. They need to have grace. They need to have peace. I'm going to give this to them in this package. It is an amazing God we serve. And there is nothing greater than to spend time with him personally, one-on-one, in prayer, in conversation, which basically that's what prayer is about. Pour your heart out to God and go to the scriptures. These promises we need to be reminded of. You know why I know that? Because God has protected his word for thousands of years. He gave men these words to write for us and the people that will follow us if the Christ doesn't return before that. This is important. The Bible is a gift from God to remind us. God is a loving God. God is a gentle, kind God. God is a powerful God. God is a joyful God. And these are the things he wants in our lives. And sometimes people look at God like he's, you know, why did God let that happen? You know, we're having a lot of tornadoes around here. And I've heard that statement. Well, I don't understand why God lets that happen. God didn't let that happen. The adversary created that. He's the one that didn't create it, but he put the things together so the tornadoes could do their damage. That's not from God. God doesn't test people like that. God doesn't put through people like that to help them see something. I was having a conversation with somebody this week, and they've been going through some things, and one of the questions that I was asked was, well, maybe God's just trying to show us this isn't what we're supposed to do. And I said, God doesn't work like that. God doesn't do bad things to you to get you to listen to him. That's not our God. God is a loving, giving God with great gifts you're going to see as we move on. So we have to really watch the way we think about things sometimes. The adversary will work that way in your life, and he wants you to blame God. But don't get deceived. Our God is a loving, kind, giving God. Go to Romans 5. Oh, we're in 5, sorry. Go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that is part of the definition of a giver, is you give unconditionally. You willingly give this to people. I'm going to read that again. But God demonstrates, this is God demonstrating to us his own love towards us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen to the next few words. Much more than having been justified, we are justified by the blood of Christ. We shall be saved from the wrath to come. Whoa. Are you kidding me? Nope. This is exactly what God's word says. The wrath that we can read about in the word of God will come. But we have been saved from that wrath. Many, many Christians believe that they're going to have to go through the tribulations and the wrath of God. No, that is not what God's word says. What a great gift to give to us that we don't have to go through that. Justified is used twice here. When God uses something in his word twice, remember what that means? It is solidified. It is going to happen. There's no doubt about it. And God tells us as his people that we will not have to go through the wrath because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Man, what an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God. Let's go to Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, and who was that one man? Adam. Much more. Not just, okay, here's something's going to happen for you. No, listen to these words. These are God's words given to the holy men to write down to tell us. Much more, those who received abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Let's read it again. For if by one man's offense death reigned, one man, Adam. Got it? You're thinking about it? For if by one man's offense reigned through one, much more, death reigned through one, much more, those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Man, how much tighter can God seal that in our lives? How much bigger can he say it? He's an amazing God. Look at Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a question. Well, he can freely give us all things. And you're going to see as we read through the scriptures, and if you check the other scriptures out, like the book of Acts, gosh, so many things God did for the apostles when the Holy Spirit was poured out into their lives. And it's amazing how today we still get those things, same promises, same degree of promise from God. He doesn't change that. He doesn't have favorites. Okay? His favorite is Christ in us. So we all have Christ in us. We're all his favorites. Look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 37, yet in all these things, and you guys know the verses above that, how, you know, may we're sinking in the ship here, you know, slaughtered as lambs, slaughtered as sheep. No. And God says, no, that's not true. And then he gives us this verse. Yet in all these things, all those things that they say we're failures in the world, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than a conqueror. Now, a conqueror is a big deal. But when you're more than a conqueror, that means God's fighting with you and for you. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we've been justified. We've been sanctified. We have righteousness. We're not going to be in the wrath. We are his people. We are his children. He loves us. And in all of that stuff that the world is going to have to try to throw at us, we are more than conquerors if we remember who we are. And that's the key. We're going to look at more promises, but we have to realize as individuals, we have to make a choice. Just like Adam made his choice, just like Jesus Christ made his choice, we have to choose to believe the Word of God. We have to choose to open the book and remember who we are. God gave us these scriptures so that we don't doubt in the time of oppression. All of us will have things in our lives that aren't so much fun to have to deal with. Sometimes you don't have a job. Sometimes you don't have a place to live. Sometimes you're ill. I mean, we are tested by the adversary in all forms and ways in our lives. But the key is we choose to understand and know that God is delivering us. Even when we feel like we can't handle something, the Word of God says that you can, and he will never put you in a situation you can't handle. That's not quoted, but the scripture is in Corinthians. You guys should look it up sometime. We are more than conquerors, and that's what God is telling us now. We're more than conquerors. We don't have to see the glass half empty. We can see the glass full and flowing over because we know who is giving us the strength to stand through and choose to do the word instead of give up and fall to the adversary's lies. So 2 Corinthians, let's look at that. Verse 5. I mean, chapter 5, sorry. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Give you a second to get there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Wow. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Why? As though God were pleading through us. God needs us to talk about him, to talk about Christ. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. That is the reason. That is the reason God calls us his ambassadors. Because when you're an ambassador for someone, some state, country, you talk about the good things that that state, country, person is doing. We are ambassadors to implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is what God has called us to do and be. And many times, you know what, guys? People give answers for problems that don't solve the problem. But if the answer is, let's see what God has to say about that. Let's see what we can do from understanding and knowing the Word of God. And what can we share with others that we know? See, that's what an ambassador does. When someone, like the situation I talked about earlier on the conversation I was having, you know, they thought God did stuff like that. God does not do stuff like that. It was a door for me to be able to talk about the goodness of God, and that with Christ in us, we have the ability to hear things from God in situations like that that can help us. And it's not something that God put into our lives or wanted for the people in this world, damage and death and tearing everything apart from a stupid cloud. That's not God. So it gave me an open door to be an ambassador for God and Christ. I mean, it really was cool. And when we finished talking about it, the person could see what I was talking about. That is why God wants us as ambassadors. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Part of being righteous is being able to speak the truth of God's word. Did you ever think about what righteousness means? Why does God make that such a big deal? Because it's a part of us that he can work with if we let him. And we have to make that choice. Just like Adam made his choice, just like Christ made his choice, and just like God implores us to be. Okay, go to Galatians 5. I mean, these are all gifts that he's placed in our lives so that we can be great givers ourselves, so that we can follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. You read the Gospels. Oh, man, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad he lives within me, because I couldn't do a tenth of the stuff I do if he didn't. He is an amazing Savior, and that God in Christ in us that was poured out to men on the day of Pentecost was an amazing gift. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, this is a really cool verse. Stand. Have you stood up for a long time in the situation where you had to stand for a long time, and you, like, your body ached and okay? Spiritually, the same process. You're in a spiritual situation. You understand there's a right and a wrong to choose from. Now, the wrong may look a lot more tasty than the right. But you know, as a son of God, the Word of God says that's not a cool thing. But you're getting tired of dealing with it. You know what? You got to stand fast. You got to remember who you are in Christ. We were made free. We do not have to get entangled and get tired. And, you know, one of the greatest things that helps break the yoke of bondage in our lives is doing God's word. It has no place. God's word is much more powerful than what we're going through. And it's also a wonderful thing, and we all know this, We have a body of Christ. We have each other. You don't have to go through life situations by yourself. You've got God and Christ in you, and we have each other, brothers and sisters who know the word, who love each other unconditionally, and who are willing to give as God examples we're looking at today gives to us. God is an amazing God, and He's made us amazing people. And I'm not saying that in a prideful, I'm very humble when I look at the Word. I'm very humbled by the Scriptures. When I started reading all these things God did, it was like, how do I pick one? You don't. You just look at as many of them as you can, and you're thankful for them. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Okay, that's you and me. Look at the person on your right. I know I can't see you, but do it. Look at the person on your left. Turn around, look at the person behind you. Okay, who has blessed us. Every one of those people, you're looking at each other in that room. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'm not, I wait a minute. How can that be? I can't do that. Yeah, I can. In Christ. Remember who you are in Christ. See, one of the hardest parts for people that we've counseled with at times, there's two things that come up more than anything else in counseling, in a marriage counseling or one-on-one with a single counselor, you know, single person. It's giving. Forgiveness is a big one. And yet God tells us in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. When you start looking at all the things God has done for you, and you don't deserve one of them, I don't deserve one of them. I couldn't earn these types of blessings if I had to. But praise God and thankfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ that they did what they did so that I can forgive every bad thing that somebody does to me or says to me. It's not always easy. I don't think it was easy for Christ to die on that cross. Do you? God didn't desert him like other people teach. He had that be with him. That was horrific what he went through. And yet he did what he had to do so we could do Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 32. And yet many times counseling was about somebody said this to me or somebody said that about me or my husband did this or my wife won't do that. And I just can't live with it anymore. I just can't forgive them. Yes, you can. Yes, I can. And the other is giving financially. It is for some reason, those two things really have been major topics throughout our years in the ministry when we counsel with people. We have to allow God to direct us in every category. And every category includes financial giving and forgiving each other. It's what God has enabled us to do. So, you know, if this is an issue for you, and I'm not saying it is for everybody, if this is an issue, go to the Scriptures. God loves a cheerful giver. Give what you can give cheerfully from your heart. Forgive each other patiently and willingly because of your love for Him, because of who loves you and the kind of love that lives within you. It really is not that hard, but it seems to be very, it pops up a lot, that's all. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 6. Here's another great gift God has given us. Be anxious for nothing. Doesn't say be anxious. Don't be nervous about it. Don't be upset. Oh, gosh, what if it, oh, what if this, what is that? I used to do that when I would get on an airplane. I don't do that on an airplane anymore. I got delivered from that. It's Philippians 4, Oh, I didn't say that. Okay, sorry. Philippians 4, you guys. I said something else. 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. There's the gift of peace again. How many times can we operate the gift of peace in our life? As many times as we need to. How many times can we ask for forgiveness? As many times as we need to. How many times can we speak the truth of God's word to each other? As many times as we need to. That is how God deals with us. Does he bring up your sin? No, he doesn't. One time I was on a situation and I had done something I knew, oh, you know what, that wasn't smart. And I apologize. I talked to God and I apologize to God. And then a few days later, I'd apologize again. And then this went on for several weeks. And then one morning, honestly, I was talking to God, praying and listening, and I said, God, I really am sorry for what I did. And my heart almost leaped out of my chest, because in my heart, I heard him say, what are you talking about? It says that he forgets them and he remembers them no more. Why do we bring them up over and over again? We need to let that peace of God rule in our hearts. Even though we don't understand how he can be that loving and that kind and that awesome God that he is. And we need to understand that, and we need to be able to forgive each other in that way. Okay, go to Philippians 4, 19. Look at all, I mean, just the things we've talked about today, the scriptures we've read, the peace, the righteousness. We're sons and daughters of God. We have Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know who did that? God. He put that in our hearts when we confessed Jesus as Lord and believed he raised you from the dead. He put that in there. Man, Philippians 4:19. And my God, our God, shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the word all ours, I put, it's really all your needs, but we are all in the family of God. God treats us all the same. He does not withhold anything good, loving, kind, completely horrendous savings from difficult situations that you find yourself in. He doesn't just give them to this one and that one. They're completely available to all of us. This is what makes God the greatest giver. God is going to continue to be that from now through eternity. And at some point, when Christ comes back, we're going to be able to be up there and enjoy all those things that we can't enjoy down here because they're not available yet. But God wants us to be blessed, and he wants us to bless each other. And he really equips us by the Christ who lives within us. Colossians 1:26. To them will to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I really wanted to start in verse 26. It's kind of different on my notes, sorry. Verse 26. The mystery, which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed, God wanted us, his saints, to know this, to know what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. And that mystery is Christ in you among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants us to understand who lives within us and the power and the authority that Spirit of God in Christ that lives within us carries. And we can back down the adversary. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came to make life more than abundant. We have Christ in us. We can back down the adversary anytime we choose to. We have to stand on the promises and do it God's way. Look at the book of James. Chapter 1, 16. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift in your life. I want you to take a second and think about something really good that happened to you this week. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights, no darkness in God, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God does not promise to do something for you and not show up. God does not do what we do sometimes. Okay, I'll be there. You know what? That might not seem like a big deal. It is a big deal. If you say you're going to be somewhere, unless something happens and it's unavoidable and you call and cancel, and you just not showing up, that's not loving. And it's saying right here, God does not do that kind of stuff. No. When God makes a promise, and let's read verse 17 again. Every good gift in your life, every perfect gift is from above. And that perfect gift is that God in Christ in us, who connected us back to God. So we could worship, truly worship God. So we have the ability to go to God without fear, without remorse even of sin. Just go and work it out with Him. Talk to Him. We have all that available to us. God is such a generous God. And I'm only touching the surface, you guys. Galatians chapter 5. Let's close there. Verse 22. And I chose to close here. You'll see why I did in a minute. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, if you are questioning, or if you wonder, am I walking by the Spirit? Am I doing what God wants me to do in this? Really? Am I? I'm not sure. Okay, we'll go to Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're wondering, am I really doing what God wants me to do? Check it out with the fruit that you're showing in your life. If you're not being loving, if you're not being kind and patient, if you're not being gentle and self-controlling yourself, if you're not forgiving, if you're not allowing that Spirit of God who put these fruits in our life, a fruit is an evident of what you planted. God planted His Spirit within us. And these fruits are the evidence of whether you're walking by the Spirit or you're walking by the flesh. And we want to walk by the Spirit of God, right? I mean, I know most of the people sitting in that room that I can't see right now, I know you guys want to walk by the Spirit because I know you personally and deeply. And so when we feel like we're not, we probably aren't. But the solution is simple, because we have such a loving, kind, forgiving, compassionate, patient God. We just sit down. We look at it honestly from the Scriptures. Am I being kind? Am I being thankful? Am I being gentle? Am I controlling myself? Am I being good? If you're not, change it. Say, God, I need some help here. Help me see this a little differently. And you know what? He could take you to Scriptures to show you what He would want you to do faster than you could think of it if you and I go before God when we need to and straighten it back up. That is how loving God is. That is how good He is. I was very lucky to grow up with a loving father. A lot of people aren't. And I remember many times when I was learning the word as I got older and took proper Benedict living and really started studying the scriptures. I can remember thinking about my birth father, my dad, and how he dealt with us. And he was such a loving, kind dad. And yet, in my teens, I thought I hated him because he wouldn't let me do things that would get me in trouble. Just like God gives us a direction that we need to follow so we don't get in trouble. So I want you to remember, whether you had a loving father, earthly father like I did or not, you have a loving heavenly father. And his word will tell you that when you open it up and go to it with your heart searching and listening to him. So I want to pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And I know we've only touched a few scriptures here in light of all that you do for us and all that you've done for mankind, what you did for Moses, what you did for Abraham, what you did for David, what you did for us, and the giving of your son and raising him from the dead and the pouring out of your spirit on the day of Pentecost. What an amazing, loving God you are. And I just thank you, Father, for opening our eyes of understanding even greater to some of these scriptures that are so familiar to us, but to bury them in our hearts, Father, and to understand them with the heart that what you gave them is such an amazing journey with you. So we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for our Lord and Savior. We're thankful for each other. We are thankful to be able to sit in a room with other people that aren't perfect, but that love you with their hearts and that are willing to go to your word and to do the things that you've called them to do. We are a blessed people and we are a powerful people. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.